Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Saturday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And this is an opportunity for you to participate in quite a discussion. So we want you, if you want to join us live on Facebook, to go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution, or you can go to The Female Solution on YouTube and join us live. And we'll be right back in just a moment, because we're going to bring you some information that we want you to either use in your own family or share as we introduce the New Earth Homeschool Program. This is an opportunity for us to take control of the society we're creating. Those people who are going to be the leaders in our world, those who are born in this time, are here for a purpose, and our purpose is to guide them. So we'll be right back in just one moment as we talk about the New Earth homeschool curriculum that you can use, even if your children are presently attending school, and even if you are not a teacher, because this has to do with changing the thought of those who are guiding the next generation. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid.
Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and as always, we appreciate you for joining us and giving us an opportunity to share. On this second Saturday of the month, we want to remind you that this year's theme has been global peace, and certainly our intention is to move toward a mindset where people are thinking differently. And we want to say grand rising to our dear sister Sheila Stamps, another forward-thinking individual. Well, this is about preparing for that which is to come. And we need to understand what time it is. There are so many who are concern about where the world is going. But there are those who understand exactly where it's going and know what role they need to play to help get it there. It's no accident that these are times of upheaval, particularly because so many of our institutions are being challenged. We've had a challenging time with the COVID experience, and that was meant to illustrate to us that we are all connected. We are not separate people in separate communities living separate lives where we don't have to be concerned about anybody else's needs. We are all one, and that was the demonstration that we experienced. The very air you breathe is affected by the people who are also breathing that air. And if something is inside of them that gets expelled from their bodies, you can breathe it in and it can affect your health. That was the graphic demonstration that we saw with the COVID adventure, as our dear sister Beata likes to call it. But the fact of the matter is, we need to evolve to a higher level of understanding so that when we choose to address issues, we do it in a way that is conscious of how it's affecting other people. And we need to choose not to adversely affect anyone. Intelligent people already know that in a nuclear age, you cannot have a winnable war. It doesn't exist because you're spraying poisons into the air, and even if they're in one country, the earth is rotating, so the air you poison today is the air you're breathing tomorrow. It's not intelligent. There isn't any way that you can harm someone else without harming yourself. This is what we're learning. So today, as we introduce the new earth, homeschool, curriculum, the first step is to prepare those who will be preparing the minds that are going to transform the world and be ready for the new evolving earth as it is, in fact, evolving. We have seen in the past the devastation of what happens when human beings are not willing to live in harmony. And with the coming nuclear age came the capacity to blow up the earth. But what we have not understood is that we're not alone in this universe. And there are others who have technology above and beyond where we have developed that aren't allowing us to be so careless as to destroy an entire planet, because it will affect so many others. Others whose presence we are not even aware. And yet, they are very much aware that we have developed the capacity to destroy to such a degree that other worlds will be affected. And so, those who have been unseen, those who have been undetected, those whose presence we were not aware of, had to get involved in a way that stopped the path of self-destruction that we were headed towards. So the first step for us to understand is that all of us who are here on purpose. There are no accidental births, even though parents may not have been emotionally or financially prepared. Every soul that comes to this earth comes here for a reason. And in these times, those of us who may now be the baby boomers or may even be those who came after, we came by choice because we are here on a mission. Past life regression therapist Dolores Cannon has done some amazing work in uncovering much of the mysteries of existence by taking her clients, coming to her for therapy through hypnosis, back through the death experience to other lifetimes in which, in a sense, she was able to time travel and help them see where they had made mistakes in other lifetimes, other life experiences, other events that they as a soul experienced. This revelation changed a lot of old thinking, a lot of belief systems that have us fearing death as a final event, when in fact it's just one event among a series of events we're going to experience as eternal souls. But now many of us have come to help steer the earth on a new course, because those who make war are not understanding that you cannot destroy life without destroying your own. We're all connected. And so, I want to share with you a brief discussion of Dolores Cannon. She speaks of one of her books on the three waves of volunteers in the new earth. And this presentation explains the fact that those of us who are here chose to come here to lay the groundwork for what's to come. And so the children and grandchildren coming through us must be prepared in a different way than what our school system is putting forth for their learning. These are children that are here to live in a new earth, a new world in which none of today's negativity can exist. But they need to be prepared. And that being the reality.
He said the call went out. Anybody who wants to help Earth.
Those who are coming through us today must be prepared in a different way. Because we are stopping the trajectory that many of the prophecies from scriptures have foretold. That was the worst case scenario. If you all don't learn how to get along, you're going to blow yourselves up. You're going to create such a destruction. You're going to destroy life as we know it if you don't stop being so hateful. has been the prediction, that's been the warning, for the purpose of us choosing to change direction. If you saw the movie Planet of the Apes, which was, you know, interesting science fiction, but the thought was a group of astronauts flew into the future and found the Earth as it had evolved, and they discovered, at the end of that first movie, they discovered that human beings had blown up the Earth. They had, in fact, blown it up. Nuclear war. And the apes had to take over and recreate civilization. Well, if we are not mindful of the direction that we're going in, we will, in fact, destroy our home. So Dolores Cannon, in her book, The Three Waves of Volunteers, explained what she learned through her hypnosis clients, that many of them that she took back all the way to the time when they were born and beyond, and some of them she took back to previous lives and the time in between lives, and she discovered a pattern that somewhere after World War II, when the atomic bombs were dropped, beyond our dimension of reality, beyond our understanding of where life begins and ends, there is life outside of our comprehension, and there are those who saw that the earth was going through a period of confusion, which could affect not just this planet, but all the surrounding planets in the solar system, throughout the galaxy, throughout other dimensions of life. If this planet that we call home, our Earth, is allowed to be destroyed by those who are walking in ignorance, it will affect many lives. And so this is what happened after the atomic bomb was dropped. Forces sprang into action in a way that we are not aware of. And it resulted in many of us choosing to come here to make a difference. So we'll share with you the words of Dolores Cannon, who speaks of what she discovered through her clients, who explained that when it looked like the earth was headed to self-destruction, other people, other beings, other souls from all across the galaxy had to be asked to come and help, because a different kind of spirit needed to be born inside this earth in order to change its direction. And maybe you are one of those souls who answered the call. So let's take a look at what happened when the three waves of volunteers came to help save the earth in preparation of the new earth.
He said, the call went out. Anybody who wants to help Earth, come. Earth is in trouble. And they all decided to come. But when you come, the memories are taken away. But here they are, stuck in the body. So what I've found is three waves, I call them, the three waves of volunteers. The ones, now many of you are probably the old school, still stuck on the wheel karma, But I think when you're interested in these kind of things, maybe your mind is opening up, maybe you are part of the other groups. But everything is changing now. The first wave, when I wrote my book, Keepers of the Garden, he was the first one I found, and I didn't know what in the world it was. Now I'm finding it again and again and again, and I call them the first timers. The first wave, I think, are like in their 50s now. You see, I said the age when it all started. My daughter says she thinks I'm being too rigid on these ages because some of them may overlap. But the first wave had the most difficult time of all. They are like in their 40s and 50s. But I've had some contact me that are in their early 60s, and they think, I think I fall into the same category. So it can't be too rigid, but it started right after the atomic bomb when the first call went out. The first wave, most of them whole life, they've not wanted to be here. They felt like they didn't belong. They said, I don't want to be here. They don't understand the violence. I want to go back. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I don't know where home is, but it's not here. Many of that first wave have tried to commit suicide because they don't want to be here. They've had a very difficult time. Now, the second wave, I think, are going in their 40s and the 30s. The second wave is like channels of energy. They say they're antennas. They are just here as a generator to that energy flows through them, and so that they can send it out to other people. All they have to do is walk through a mall, walk through a crowded store, and their energy affects everybody. Of course, they don't know it's doing that, but that's what they're here for, is to spread the energy. You don't have to do anything. They said they just have to be. So they have a lot more peaceful than the first one did. And I asked them one time, why did the second group have a much easier time than the first group did? They said because the first group were the way showers, the pioneers. Somebody had to blaze the trail. The second group followed after that. And we're probably going to get into some more. Oh, the second group, too, usually don't have children because they said having children creates karma. They just want to do their job and get out of here. They don't want to get stuck. Just do this assignment, then we're all going back home where we're supposed to go. Now, the third wave are the new children. These are the ones that are the hope of the world. They are coming in with everything in place. Everybody's DNA is being changed because we are moving into a whole new world, a whole new earth. The DNA is being changed in our bodies so we can adapt to the frequencies, the changes of the frequencies. The new children have already, the DNA is already there. It's already adapted. They are in place. We have to play catch-up. Let me say something before I forget it. Okay, when this energy came into the bodies at the first time, you imagine how that energy would be so, well, alien is a good word, even if it came from the source, it would be so different to enter into a human body that the energy is so strong and it doesn't match the energy of the human body. So many times when they first tried the experiment of getting their soul into a human, into the fetus, the energy was too strong. This meant the mother's energy also was not compatible. So many times it would cause the baby to abort or to have miscarriage because the energies wouldn't match. So when that happened, they would try again. It was supposed to be those parents. And this time they said, well, we'll just send part of the energy in, of the soul, so that it can, the fetus can handle it. And then as the child grows older, we'll give a little more of the energy. So you can understand this. This is though the whole soul does not enter at one time. These are the three waves. And it has caused problems because they don't understand why they're here. I think one thing is ironic about the second wave. They're supposed to be interacting with people because their energy influences everybody around them. But a lot of them don't want to be here. They don't like people. They don't like the way it makes them feel, so they isolate themselves away from people. And I said, that's defeating the purpose. How ironic. You're here to help with the people, and yet you pull yourself away from them. But my daughter thinks maybe that means those are still influencing by just being here. Their energy maybe is helping in that way. But we have the three ways. But when I was on the air with George Nuri, he said, this explains the baby boomers. It's that age group, the baby boomers, because look at all the babies that were being born at that time. And also look at what happened in the 60s. The people, they didn't want war. They wanted peace. We had the hippies and the peace movement. They were all trying to make changes. They just didn't fit in with the violence that was going on in the world. You're not supposed to go out.
And so this is who some of the, this is who some of the parents are, those who came answering a call to come and be born during this time. Some of you may be those people. And then those coming after them, those meant to just come and bring a peaceful energy. And then the children, some of them who are struggling in public schools now that don't understand that there's a reason why perhaps they're bored in school or defiant or disruptive, because their brains are already wired for something higher, and often they get misdiagnosed as ADHD or educationally mentally handicapped or something of that nature. But really, these are the new children who are already here preparing to adjust to a new earth that is coming. And we'll talk more about that. But one of the things we want to introduce is the understanding that there are children among us now who should not be forced to go through the current school system as it is, because it is defective. It does not enhance intelligence. It encourages conformity to a way of thinking that is obsolete. So many of you may be parents or grandparents to children who are having difficulties, and if you know your child is bright and you know they're exceptional and yet they're having conflict with teachers, maybe you want to listen and think about, these are the children who were born for this time of transformation, and they need a different kind of a curriculum. They need a different education. They need a different mindset, because the world as it has been is not going to continue, and we need to prepare them for what will be, so that they can be the leaders of the new earth, a place where all of this negativity will not exist. And so if you have a child that seems a little different, don't let doctors convince you to drug them up or sedate them or beat them into submission because they're strong-willed. Don't allow other misguided adults have you crush the spirit in your child that was born for this time. There are many all across the earth. And as Dolores Cannon said, these are the hope of the world. They have chosen to be born through you on purpose for this time. Recognize who they are and understand that the way they are to be raised has to be different than the way we were raised, because we were raised by parents who really didn't understand. And they were trying to make us fit into the world for our protection. But many of the things they believed were harmful, hurtful to our self-esteem, damaging to our self-image, and demotivational to our spirit, because we were raised to believe that we were helpless victims and at the mercy of people who controlled everything, and if they didn't like us, we wouldn't succeed. We believed that. And we fashioned our lives struggling, trying to get the approval of people that we gave power to that they didn't have, because that's what we were taught. So now it's time for us to introduce a new thought for the new children who have come in preparation to live and lead and be creators of the new earth. So we'll be back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And grand rising to our dear sister, Zelda. She says, New Earth Homeschool. Love it. CPS can learn from this. Yes, we hope CPS does, or at least those who are teaching in CPS. Chicago Public Schools is what that stands for. Because they already know what they're teaching, and what they're doing isn't working. It's not creating the kind of people that are making life better for others. So we've got to make some changes. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim, of the HWPI Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. And as always, we appreciate you for being a part of this discussion on this second Saturday of the month. And now our third Saturday, of course, we, as always, have our host, Deborah, and we're going to continue with our theme of peace as we travel around the world and meet people who are making a positive difference. So we want you to make sure you join us next Saturday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, and wherever you are in the world, adjust your time based on Central Time so that you can join us for a fantastic presentation. But we also want to remind our viewers and listeners that this is a year for us to make some decisions. We are all experiencing transformations as a result of 2 years of an unexpected global pandemic, but it gave us time to think and observe. And what we should have observed is that we as a human family are all connected, and there is nowhere that you can go on this earth and not be affecting someone with your actions. So it's critical for us to teach unity consciousness to the children who are now among us for the purpose of learning how to live in a different kind of world, one in which people realize that they are part of a whole. They are part of an entire system, and it's not just them that they have to think about. They have to have understanding that they are just a piece in a massive puzzle, a massive system. And so they can't be selfish. And we can no longer function in the way we've been functioning, because otherwise we're going to experience what many of the prophecies from various spheres into the future have prophesied, and that is the destruction of the world in which we live. Well, we're deciding that's not going to happen. And what we've understood now is that there are enough who have incarnated, as Dolores Cannon expressed, there are enough who have come, who have changed the energy. And there are enough who have come through them to increase that higher energy and have been able to change the trajectory of our future. And so now we have a group of children being born. And if you are a grandparent and you have children who are childbearing age, then you need to make sure they're prepared to guide these souls who have come through them in a different way, because that's their purpose. So in a short while, we'll be introducing this new program that parents can use at home for the education of their children. And it's new and innovative and designed to prepare leaders in the emerging new earth. So their thinking must be different. They're not being prepared to fit into what exists. They're being prepared to create that which is to come. So our curriculum, entitled New Earth, stands for Natural Environment, Wholesome Education, Awakening Responsibility to Humanity. And we'll share with you a few of those points before we bring in the next video presentation. The first step is to, in fact, help parents understand that the children that are here now are not like those who have come before. They are not here to follow. They are here to lead. They're not going to be conforming to existing rules and regulations, and their strong will is for a purpose. So if you've got a strong-willed child, rather than see your strong-willed child as defective, recognize that they are leaders, and they are here to be strong-willed, because it's going to take a strong will to change what exists. So our first step is to condition the minds of parents so that they understand their role in freeing your child or your grandchild to be who they are and to understand that the mind they have is different. So while we were raised with people who thought their job was to break our spirit so that we could be moldable and obedient and conform, we have to know that the children today are not here to be broken. They're here to be set free so that they can create. And that's what the New Earth homeschool online curriculum is for. So let us share a bit of this program and talk about what mindset it will take for parents to put this in place for their children or their grandchildren, who they will be guiding through this process. And who they will be preparing to be the leaders of a new society that's based on different principles than what we are currently following. So if you are listening online, we'll go through it. And if you're following us on the Female Solution Facebook page, you can read along. We have pulled up this introduction. New Earth, which stands for Natural Environment, Wholesome Education, Awakening Responsibility to Humanity. Acronym for New Earth. It's a homeschool online curriculum, so therefore it's something that you are able to introduce in your home. The New Earth Homeschooling Online curriculum presents an entirely new approach to learning. The purpose of New Earth is to engage students in critical thinking and analysis, to examine actions and events from an ethical point of view, and to use imagination and creativity to solve problems. This is an education system designed to open minds and allow students to explore their own opinions and perceptions free of fear from failure, fear of failure. There is no failure with New Earth. There's only the exciting adventure of collective discovery. Students learn in an environment of cooperation, encouragement, and support. Already, as you can see, it's totally different than what our school systems put forth. The first step is to define for the student, why are you here? Why are you in school? What is your purpose for learning? Well, one, you're not here to get a grade. There are no grades. There's only continual striving toward mastery of a subject or skill. You grade your own progress. Two, you're not here to pass a standardized test. The information taught is to help you become a better person in life and contribute to the well-being of all life on Earth. Three, you're not here to compete with other classmates. We cooperate and help each other so that all may obtain mastery of knowledge because we want each of us to be our best. You are here to explore ideas, define interests, discover abilities, and master skills in a comfortable homeschool setting that operates according to a system of ethics. And ethics is also broken down as an acronym. E, for equality. We treat everyone as being of equal importance and value. T, togetherness. We work as a team. Together, each achieves more. H, helpfulness. We help each other so that everyone is able to excel. I, inclusiveness. We include everyone regardless of skills or abilities. There is no separation. Cooperation. We willingly follow guidelines, working in harmony so that all may benefit. And S, for sharing. We share all we have so that all will have a share. None are deprived of need. And that is what ethics stands for. So that being the case, the setting of this classroom is one in which there is no stress or tension or fear of humiliation because we're all in this together. And so no one has to fear being humiliated if they don't understand something. It's totally different than the way schools are run right now. So now, activities are designed to interweave all disciplines because all are a part of the whole. In the process of mastering the skills of reading and math, students are learning history, geography, science, technology, and the arts. Books, videos, and podcasts are interwoven with discussion, encouraging students to freely express their own ideas, to think and create, not merely repeat and memorize. All subjects are approached with critical analysis, asking the following questions. One, what have we done in the past? Two, who did it help? Three, who did it not help? Four, how could it have been done better to help more people? And five, what would a new way of doing this look like? So, of course, this is one of the issues that we address when we talk about things like history, culture, things that we did that we may have done out of tradition, but things that we may need to change. So, of course, if we are doing things that are hurtful to people, we need to stop. It's just that basic. We'll return more to the New Earth Homeschool curriculum in just a moment, but we want to share some more of the video presentations that will be used. And one of the key things is to change the direction, the motivation, the purpose for learning. Remember, these children are here on purpose. They are not here to fit into what exists. They are creating what is to come. And so if that is the case, then the parents need to have a different perspective on why they are learning what they're learning. We all were forced to learn useless information because the idea was, well, I have to get out and get a job so I can support myself and my family, and therefore I have to pass the test. This is not what these children are learning things for. They're learning different ways of seeing science and technology for the purpose of improving life for all. They're learning skills for the purpose of improving life for all. They're learning how to create different systems of exchange and sharing so that all may benefit. So they're not prepared to fit into an old monetary system. They're prepared for a new system as it evolves and as they create, which will not be dependent upon what we now have. We see a little bit of it emerging now. You see a lot of people coming out with various barter and exchange systems. Eventually, the monetary system that we have will cease to exist simply because it is hurtful. It excludes. It creates poverty. It does not allow those who are living on this earth to have their share. And so that system at some point will not exist. Now, we could see a total collapse and devastation, or we could have a smooth transition into a more loving and kind and compassionate system. If we raise this generation of children correctly, that transition will be smooth. But there will be a transition. There will be a change. This that we're living will not exist. And it is collapsing. And there are desperate attempts to keep it going, but we already know that it at some point will cease to exist. So intelligence would make us have foresight and prepare the children who came here to be a part of this new earth, to be ready to take roles of leadership and guiding the society in the way it should go. So if we are wise, we'll think ahead and we'll realize that this is a different time that we're in. So that we will not make errors in judgment. When we see things changing around us, we will not panic because we understand why. And there are many people, as they look at what's evolving, are wondering, how are we going to maintain the systems that we have? But the systems that we have, anything that is harmful is not going to be maintained because the earth itself is changing. So this is one of the reasons why we have to create and take responsibility for the minds that have come through us, so that we're not frustrating them And we're not angry with them because they're not conforming the way we think they should. That's not what they came here to do. They didn't come here to fit in. They came to create. So one of the things that we are sharing today is the preparation for the parents in this process. If you have had children who have perhaps not been interested in school and you're worried because you can't get them to study and they're telling you, well, this is useless information. What do I need to learn this for? And you're upset and you think you should punish them because they're not sitting and being quiet and doing as they're told, and you have, because of the way you may have experienced growing up, you're thinking that you should call them bad or disobedient or that you should even strike them or hit them to make them conform. This isn't the case. You're not supposed to damage them. You're not supposed to crush their spirit. You're not supposed to break them because they are not here to be broken or beaten into submission. They are creative. They are really ingenuitous. They have a lot of imagination. They may exhibit a lot of energy. You can't get them to sit down, be quiet, do as they're told. And because of the way we have been misguided in our parenting, we will call such a child bad, unruly, disobedient, defiant, because they're expressing an independent thought, a different energy, a free will. We're not understanding that these are some of the children that Dolores Cannon speaks of that are very innovative, very creative, very independent in thought, questioning why they should conform to things, questioning why they have to be made to learn certain things, questioning the relevance of their education, questioning why they must sit in a building that feels like a prison for hours and hours and hours, questioning why they can't socialize with their friends, questioning why this experience of learning must be so painful and so unpleasant. And we, in our conditioning, never thought to question it ourselves. We say, this is what you're supposed to do because that's the way it is. And we don't understand that they came here to change things from the way it is to the way it should be. Learning should be exciting. It should be fun. It should be an adventure. It should be an exploration. It should be a discovery. And there should never be the thought of failure. You failed. You can't fail in life. That's a concept that we allow to be put forth to create stress and something that should have been a joy. So our first challenge is to change the way we think and realize the way we think is defective, it's faulty, it's hurtful, it's harmful. It does not inspire. We must first change our thought so that we can be prepared to set free these creative minds that have come through us for guidance and instruction, not suppression, not crushing the spirit, not punitive, repressive tactics of forcing them to conform, but discovering what's in the minds, hearts, and souls of those who have come for this time, for this purpose,
because as Dolores Cannon said, they are a gift to the world. They are going to take us to that next level of higher consciousness, of creative thought, so that the systems that we have across this earth, of be it transportation, food production, building, technology, communication, everything will be done differently in a way that causes no harm to the earth or any of its inhabitants. So these are the minds that are going to discover and create, not conform. So we must treat them with respect and understanding who they are. So we'll be back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll come right back with more videos to share as we share with you the introduction to the New Earth homeschool curriculum, where we are creating a new generation of students who are ready to lead the New Earth. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naeem Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
Okay, well, we are going to go back to the switchboard and make sure our listening and viewing audience is with us. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back in a moment.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Global radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, hosting this second Saturday in March 2022. And we're going to go to our phone lines. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 if you're ready to speak. If you're watching us on Facebook Live or on YouTube, we've had a little technical difficulty. We're going to try to bring you a visual image back in just a moment. But in the meantime, of course, you can listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. And, of course, if you are on our switchboard, just press 1 and we will get your comments. So let's go to our switchboard now and go to area code 314-381 Grand Rising, or good afternoon. I guess it is afternoon now, most places in the world.
It is afternoon. Happens to be. It's Pianki. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good to hear your voice, Pianki.
You know, I've heard this word self-esteem used in talking about educating, in particular African-American kids. There have been many programs attempts at creating what you would call self-esteem. And, of course, one of the most popular ones at the time was those African-centered curriculums. Either in public schools or in private settings, which, by the way, those in private settings said that what was going on in the public school was not authentic.
Well, I definitely understand your point of view. I sent my daughter to an African-centered institution.
What's the name of it?
Now, there's a lot of, I guess, controversy over what they've called, what is it, critical race theory, which I guess means
discussing. What was the name of the school you went to?
Now, of course, my daughter went to Betty Shabazz International Charter School here in Chicago. But now that they're talking about in the public schools instituting something called critical race theory, I guess it's a class or whatever, that they talk about what happened in the sense of some people having been mistreated, racial injustice, and that kind of thing. And there's been a lot of controversy about that because some whites are saying, well, this will damage the self-esteem of white people, telling them that they come from people who did all these horrible things, so we shouldn't talk about it. So what is your point of view on that? What is your thought on that?
First, I know your school that your daughter went to. I visited the school and videotaped it. I remember the stage and the sign above the stage. I think it made some reference to not teaching to the test. And, of course, I know of inner city studies at the time, which Jay Carruthers worked in. And, as far as you were talking about, there have been many schools like that, but the academic performance of the student subject matter that they supposed to be masters to the greatest degree. Now, they all don't know how to master every subject matter, but they should be able to, as some people say, be able to balance a checkbook at that level. As far as race theory, I don't subscribe to that. I'd be left up to a parent school district at this.
Yeah, your sound is breaking up just a little bit. Your sound is breaking up a little bit, so I might have missed a word or two. I think you were saying that students need to learn things like how to balance a checkbook and some things parents may not be able to teach them. Is that what I thought I heard?
I said that you don't want to teach yourself a thing, but at the same time, students should do the master to basic, which describes being able to balance the checkbook. If parents don't want their child to be taught certain subjects, then the parents' prerogative to control or dictate to school districts, boards, that is, on the direction that they want their children to be taught. But it's not like that. And I think that's why where a lot of problems come into play. That's why I'm a very strong advocate of school choice and let the money follow the child. Matter of fact, I think that people who don't even have kids in the school district that's paying toward the school district, they should be able to have access at what they pay so they can direct it where they think it would best serve, whether family members that do in the family that do have children in the school. So that's my position on that.
Well, I tend to feel that a parent also should have the right to send their child to the school that they think is best for that child's learning. And I think that parents should have a choice as to what they want their children to learn. I think there have been a lot of controversies about certain philosophies that some schools may want to express and others and parents may not feel comfortable with that. And that's especially if it's a public school where the public's tax dollars are paying for the education. Sometimes that can create a problem because not everybody can agree on what should be taught. So if you send your child to a private institution and you're paying for it because it's private, generally everybody who's paying in that institution agrees to what's being taught, such as if you're going to a Catholic school or, you know, some other type of religious-based school. However, when you have a school that is paid for by the public's tax dollars and parents don't feel like they're getting the quality education that they desire or deserve, I agree. They should be able to take their money, whatever their portion that's going for that education system, and put it toward a school that they believe is best for their children. I believe they should have that right. One of the reasons why those who are against that are in such protest is because they think that then all of the wealthy people will take their money out of the public school system and then it will therefore not have the financial backing it needs to have to be a good system.
So, well, why do you want them paying into it? It's just like the question was asked of John Danforth, who was a Missouri U.S. Senator and one of the owners of Ralston Purina. They asked him, when he retires, is he going to take Social Security? You know what his answers were? I paid into it, sure.
Absolutely.
So you got a mindset out here that think that quote-unquote rich people are supposed to pay for everybody else's stuff, everybody else's desires and endeavors. But that's not true. And as far as you may mention about critical race theory, where you were white are being castigated, well, I agree with them. How can you blame today's whites for something that whites in the past did that they had nothing to do with. And then again, on CRT, it itself, information I've seen that's come out to support it, is not truthful and accurate neither. I, as a black person, why come my ancestors who was black are not talked about the great business expertise that they had in running plantations that utilized slaves? That, in fact, is neglecting my heritage, if I wanted to look at it like that.
Well, there are a lot of people who may not even be aware that that is a reality. One of the things we're looking at with this particular homeschool curriculum is to look at what happened and be able to discuss it without laying blame, just simply looking at what happened, because everybody has participated in whatever conditions have led us to this point. And you had a number of people who got wealthy from using slave labor, and slave labor is only possible with the use of a certain level of brutality, and it's not exclusive to any particular race. All across the globe, people have brutalized each other. So what we seek to do is to look at each civilization, each people, each environment, each society. What things did you do that were helpful? What things did you do that were harmful? What was the outcome? Now, we can take the race part out of it and just look at humanity and look at each continent, each time period, and look at what each people did that got them to this point that they are, and what did we learn from their experience. That's a lot different than just kind of narrowing it down to white folks bad, black folks good, because that's not what happened. I mean, you had humanity, and you had people made decisions to enslave others for their economic benefit, and you had Asians do it, Europeans do it, Africans do it. And so we would like to look at the whole issue of human beings treating human beings either in a way that was fair or not fair, either beneficial to all or beneficial to some and non-beneficial to others, and how does that lay the groundwork for today's current conflicts, because things that happened in the past have not been rectified or restructured.
That's a great word you use there, rectified. And one thing, too, is that good and bad is subjective. It depends on the society that you live in. You can't look into another society and based on your observation, based on what you have grown up, been exposed to, your environment, and say what is good or bad. Yes, rectified. That institution was used to rectify things that somebody done, so it may have been as a punishment or to satisfy debt. You, I owe you, but I don't have it. So here, you take this child, this member, and you can use them to work off what I owe you. Another point, when we look and I hear people saying that you want to look at the world at the bad and the good. Well, I was watching a documentary on Vietnam, and I hear people talk about what people eat and all about the health and everything. I think that's those people's business. But heck, in some of those societies among the Hmong and others, they eat insects live, fish live, bite them off, and they chew them up going into their mouth, tarantulas, and they eat the innards of hogs, the bowel of the hog, and boil it and add this, that, and the other. That's what those people do. Now, you may not want to do that, but don't do it. Now, I do approve, I do agree with you on, you talk about this curriculum, homeschool curriculum. If that's what people want their children to be exposed to, then fine, do it. But here's where the problem come in, is when you want every quote-unquote, black child to have this experience. And their parents may not want that. And then we use words like we and us. That's just not the reality. There's no we and us other than those that go along and agree like what you are describing with this homeschool teaching parents how to build self-experience curriculum called New Earth. That's your we. That's your us.
Oh, absolutely. See, when I say we and us, I am not restricting it to a particular geographic area or skin color or even ethnic heritage or even historical experience, because we as residents of Earth are all connected now. It's really obsolete to categorize oneself by either the color of one's skin or the land of birth of one's ancestors, because number one, human beings are constantly traveling all around the globe, and number two, human beings are constantly intermarrying, mating, producing, and so the narrow way we have defined ourselves is inappropriate for the amount of knowledge that we have about who we are as beings on this planet. And if we are going to actually function at a higher level, then our definition of who we are has to expand beyond a geographic location or even a historical experience. Slavery was an experience. It's not a definition. It's not an identity. It was an experience that some people had as a result of the decisions of the people in their environment. So like you said,
well,
you might have people who, based on their principles, based on their perception, they say, well, look, I did this work for you, you can't pay me, so therefore you're going to give me this child that you have and they're going to work for me for a certain number of years to pay off your debt. And that might have been how that particular type of slavery, in a sense, happened. And so we'll take a look at all of those things. One of the things that we look at is...
Yeah, but who is the we you saying you're going to take a look? You mean the people that's at the this New Earth?
The people who choose to participate in this learning experience, and it's not race-based. It's not.
But you know, you're looking at it.
It's for
you're looking
people
at it through foreign.
Eyes.
Yeah, you're looking at it through foreign eyes. Why not have someone who is experiencing that, their society? Why not let them tell you about how that works? See, I'm totally against going to other parts of the world telling people how they should be living. And more importantly, how they should be thinking. They've done that for thousands of years in some general cases, and it has worked for them. They have tried, they have proved and tested it, and it works for them.
Just Americans. This curriculum is put together for people all over the world. So this is not designed.
Yeah, but who's putting it together?
Many educators from all over the world. Many educators.
Well, yeah,
I could
agree with that.
Are knowledgeable on history, culture, religion. Because the thing is to get, as you said, an accurate picture of what happened and why from the point of view of those people who have had that cultural experience, that historical experience. And so when you look at what happened, you can analyze it without putting a right or a wrong on it, but just understanding this was the point of view.
In many cases, nothing happened, right?
In many cases, what was that?
In many cases, nothing happened.
Well, what happened is where we are today. Everything leads from somewhere. So what is the state of being of people right now, and what happened to get them there? Now, we can look at what happened to get us to this point that we are in America. We can look at what happened to get the people in China where they are, the people in Egypt where they are, the people in France where they are. Everybody has something that happened.
And I think that the people of those areas must already be doing that because they seem to be satisfied with what they have. You know, in a village, there's a story that has to be told and has been told and passed down because certain members of families are expected to take on certain positions when that elder person ahead of them deceases. I think that's going on already. If it's not, it would be up to those societies to change things if they want to. So getting back to the same thing,
well,
I hear
you
what you're saying. It sounds like a heck of an undertaking. The only thing I can tell you is good luck.
Well, the reason why it's possible is because people are of the same mind. They're realizing that it's time for us as a human family to evolve to a higher consciousness. It's time for us
Do you believe a 14-year-old girl should get married to a male that's 26 to 30 years old?
Do I think
you don't believe that. You're against that. But in some countries,
married to a 26-year-old, you say?
Yeah. Well, no, because I can tell by your hesitancy to answer the question.
There are societies
that's perfectly normal. Yeah, this is perfectly normal, even younger. And the weddings are arranged. People here in the United States don't believe in that. So people in the United States have no business trying to tell people who live in a society where they have arranged marriages, where they have young girls that's marrying older males. That's their business. Anyway, I don't want to take up all your time.
You know, again, the whole purpose is to look at what was done. Who did it help? Who did it not help? Is there a better way to do things? Now, if everybody's satisfied, then there's no problem. But if the women are not happy, then there's a problem. Because anywhere that if someone is not pleased, then you have to make adjustments. Because if there's not, if there is conflict about something, that means that's not the best way to do it.
Yeah, but that still has to come out of those societies themselves. Well, they would better know if something is not right. See, the way it's going is what they've agreed upon because it's been going on for so long. They agree upon it. Over in Ghana, the Ashanti, you and I can't become members of that of that society. Black Americans can't because they mixed. They don't allow that. You have to be one of them. So that's their society. Just leave them alone. They're living fine.
Well, that's just the thing. If everything was fine, then there would be no problem. But
the problem is when somebody come in and say everything is not fine, and the people, maybe because of language barrier, of course, they're going to greet you as with enthusiasm because they're curious about who is this, what is this? I mean, what are they talking about? But when they begin to understand what your underlying purpose is, then the problems arise.
Well, the purpose is to think and to evolve. If you're doing the same thing that you have been doing for the past 1,500 years, that means you have not evolved. We are here to evolve, to get better. Each generation is supposed to get better. If the only thing you can do is the same thing you've been doing, well, let everything that's working well for you, that's fine. But if it's not working well for you and you're still doing it anyway, is that a sign of higher intelligence? If you're doing
I've been putting up buildings. We've been putting up buildings around the area, including in Chicago, the same way since the 1800s. Now, we've added some new techniques because materials and things have changed that would require the application of a certain way as specified by the manufacturer. But basically, we've been doing things the same way we have since the 1800s.
Right.
And they haven't failed down.
To learn better, you do the same things the same way until you learn better.
Thank you very much.
Look at our system of say, electricity. You know, that's been, you know, the way, like you say, you designed the buildings a specific way. You've been doing it for, you know, over a century. But now you have things like solar power. So you have a whole different way of generating electricity. If people are stuck on the old way and don't see that there is a better way or a way that's more beneficial to both the person inside the building that is using electrical energy and to perhaps the earth, the environment, all these other things, if people are stuck on doing something that they've been doing for the past several hundred years, even when a new opportunity to do it better in a way that's more beneficial to more people, is that a sign of higher intelligence?
Yeah, it is, because solar energy is not efficient. And if you want to, if you have issues with the climate, you can see one ecological problem that exists. You need to grow more trees and more green stuff and let the process of sequestering carbon go about the normal way, and that's through the root and ecological systems at the root level of plants. When you don't have the green space and when you destroy the green space, the trees with the canopies, then you create an imbalance and unnatural situation. Put things back in imbalance. And you talk about that all the time. People talk about that all the time in their diets and their health and eat too much sugar. No, put things back in balance the way this earth had built it for billions of years before human beings came, and everything will be just fine.
Well, now that is something that takes realization that things need to change. And you can
How's
only
your
have that if you observe how things are and you think, is there a better way? Was it better before? What have we been doing? Who has it helped? Who has it hurt? Is there a better way?
How's your garden activities?
Well,
how did it work out?
Season. So we're, as a matter of fact, we'll be part of this homeschool curriculum will be the farming program where you're learning about how to identify the plants that grow in your environment. And they're growing there because they're for your benefit. So then we're starting out with that. And this is March, so it's still kind of snowing here. But in early April, we'll be again demonstrating how to work with earth so that instead of us, as you said, cutting down all the trees and getting rid of the oxygen, we can be more aware that we have to work with the environment and not against it, even though urbanization has destroyed a lot of the natural environment. So you have to think, how can we do things better?
All right, well, I appreciate the opportunity. You have a nice and blessed rest of the weekend.
Well, I thank you so much for your participation in this discussion. And we're going to take a quick break and come right back. And again, thank you for your input. As always, we appreciate your wisdom. And we will continue after this break with those who are ready to take responsibility for teaching in their home. What does your home environment need to look like to prepare for the natural environment, wholesome education, awakening responsibility to humanity? New Earth. We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. So we want you to stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Our internet, internet is running a little bit slow, but we are back, and you are listening to the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, and I'm Naima Latif, and as always, we appreciate you for your participation in our discussion. And one of the things that we want you to think about, if you are a parent or a grandparent, what is the world going to look like when your school-age child reaches an adulthood? And are you prepared to do something different other than what was done in your day? This is one of the challenges that we have in changing the thoughts of parents who have perhaps not been able to think independently enough to do something contrary to tradition. But leaders are those who are willing to step forth and leaders are those who don't need others' approval because they have an inner knowing that they are responsible for the direction in their lives, and they realize that others may not always understand. And so if you are a parent or grandparent of a school-age child, we want you to see the signs of leadership in them. And leadership often comes in the forms of non-compliance with existing rules, but willingness to create something different. And if your child is a strong-willed child, then your child may question a lot of things that they are told. And if you are a parent who is lacking in patience, you might see this as defiance of your authority, but it isn't. It's the assertion of their own free will and a realization that they are different. They came here to prepare for a new earth, a different world. And if we are willing to change our thought pattern, if we are willing to see things differently, then we can, in fact, be beneficial to them because they are the new minds that are here to prepare the world for a new society. So if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call. 515-605-9325 is the call-in number. And we are back on Facebook Live. Sometimes we have issues in which the signal gets lost. But we talk about building self-esteem. Self-esteem comes from knowing that who you are is not depending on other people's opinion of who you are. And so when you truly know who you are not affected by other people's behavior. You realize that their behavior is a reflection of how they feel about themselves. It has nothing to do with you. So if you are willing to listen to only your voice, you then will not be influenced by other people's attitudes or behaviors because they don't have the power to make you feel bad about yourself. They don't have the power to make you feel bad about yourself. And that's a power that you should never give to another person, the power to define you. Now, if you are a parent who is ready to introduce a new idea, then we want you to prepare your home in such a way that it reflects a new thought. And that means a home in which there is no stress or fear, because whether you're teaching one child or many children, and many homes have several children, every child has to get the message that they are of equal importance to everyone. Because this is the new earth that they are creating, one in which all lives matter. All lives are important. All are worthy of respect. So that's the home environment that you first need to establish. So we're sharing some of the steps to making your home the right learning environment for this curriculum. First thing, the home is a learning environment for all ages. Group discussions of ideas and events include everyone, and all are encouraged to share their thoughts, opinions, and ideas. For families with more than one child, young children will learn the basics of reading, math, and science as they enjoy group activities with older siblings. Parents, teachers can make sure all children receive a turn at games and activities, and all children get a chance to speak during group discussions. Here are a few tips to create the ideal homeschooling environment. And we do want you to listen. And, of course, this is all part of the course, but it's important because the message given to younger children has to be your opinions matter, no matter how young you are. That's how you build self-esteem. You teach a child that their thoughts matter, which is totally different than some of us who may have been raised. Children are to be seen and not heard, or not even seen or heard. It's important that we give the message that your thoughts matter. So the first thing is to, number one, make it comfortable. Make your home learning environment comfortable. Sit in soft chairs or pillows. On the floor. And during group discussions, sit in a circle so that everybody can see everybody and everybody can be recognized when they want to speak. There's to be no fussing, no yelling, no reprimands, no stress. Learning is fun. Everything is a game. And there are no losers. Everyone is encouraged and helped, never ridiculed. Number three, take turns. Parents and teachers are facilitating discussions, making sure everyone learns patience to wait until another finishes talking, gently reminding others to listen until it's their turn to talk. Four, create an atmosphere of family participation. Turn off all electronic distractions. Don't try to talk over televisions, computers, or cell phones with earplugs. Start out each class session with a stretching, relaxation, and meditation exercise, and those will be described later. Number five, serve snacks and make the distribution of snacks part of the daily math lesson. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, divisions, fractions. Just think, if you're, say if you're serving a big round chocolate cake and you have five people, well, you know, how much is one-fifth, two-fifths, three-fifths? You know, three of you get a slice and the other two slices left on the table. What does that represent in terms of fractions? So many ways. We'll talk about that, of course, in the curriculum. Number six, use electronic devices for cooperative learning. Pulling up videos or listening to a podcast as a group and discussing ideas. Number seven, read books together. Make it entertaining by changing voices for characters or even putting on costumes and acting out stories. Number eight, make chores part of the school lessons, pointing out shapes of dishes and containers being washed. Is it a circle, a square, a rectangle, triangle, oval? Number nine, make errands part of the school lessons. Make it a game. Can you round off items in the shopping cart to the nearest dollar and estimate the total, adding it in your head before you reach the cashier? Who can come close to the actual total? Definitely a game to play when you're shopping. Number 10, spend a good portion of the time outside. Take walks in all kind of weather, sunshine, rain, warm, and cold. Interact with nature as part of the science lesson. Observing animals, plants, bugs, trees, the sky, clouds, birds. Smell the air when there are no cars present. Smell the air when the cars are present. Talk about the experience. Number 11, use all interactions with others while outside as part of sociology studies, observing the way people speak to others and the ways people respond to the ways they're spoken to. Have discussions about the things you observed. Analyze whether the behavior they saw follows the ethics rules. Remember what each of those letters stand for. And number 12, engage in physical activities to maintain health and wellness. Help children with hand-eye coordination skills. Use activities such as ball games and jump rope as part of the physics lesson, observing motion, velocity, momentum, force, distance, speed, and other principles of physics. Well, there are more, of course, and we want to make sure that we share some of these basics with those who are looking to give their children a different kind of learning experience. So we do hope that you are willing to try something that will challenge your child to think and to explore and to have confidence in their ideas because they're listened to. And that's one of the major things that need to happen is that we need to listen to our children. We need to listen when they are ready to share their thoughts and give them the understanding that their thoughts do matter. Their thoughts do matter. So when we say things to a child in a way that tells them they don't matter, their thoughts are not important, their feelings don't matter, that's when we're literally damaging their self-esteem. Because the way you treat a child when they get ready to speak or express an idea tells them whether or not they matter. And this is why that particular way of functioning is important. So now you've got people who are aware and people who are unaware. The unaware people don't realize that the world is changing and that they must prepare in a different way. The aware people are being guided to do something different. I'm going to share one more piece. The two types of people on the planet, and you can determine if you are one of these people.
How to change anyone.
So our caller, Pianki, was discussing, you know, people who have certain cultural beliefs and, you know, should we leave them alone and let them be? Well, of course. People have to be who they are until they are guided to become something else. We're going to share this last video with you from Dolores Cannon, entitled The Two Types of People on the Planet. And you can determine if you are one of these two types. And here we are, Dolores Cannon on the two types of people on the planet.
Not supposed to go out and try to change anyone. Those who are already enlightened, they're already advanced, they realize what happens, what's happening now, they're already there. You don't have to worry about it. The other ones that are so deep into negativity, we're not going to be able to make a difference anyway. They have to find their own way. We're not supposed to convert anyone. It's the ones in the middle that are not sure which way they want to jump. Those are the ones we have to reach, the ones we have to talk to about that things are happening, things are changing, and we're moving into this totally new world. Man has destroyed civilizations down through time, and each time, it's usually with the bad use of their mind, the misuse of the powers of their mind, and each time, they'd start all over again from the beginning and create a totally new civilization, a new world. They said, it's no longer time for that. We can't do it. We can't waste that time. So this is part of the developing of our psychic powers, bringing that back, changing this because we're going to carry it on instead of destroying the world and starting all over again. That's why we're having all this chaos and problems right now as the two try to decide and separate and shift. So it's a very important time we're in right now. And there's many souls that are coming in right now to be here for it. They volunteered to come. The call went out throughout the universe, volunteers to come and help. They have to be souls that are pure, that have not known violence, have no karma to repay, to come in and help raise the consciousness of those who are here. And these people don't know they're one of these. I find it out in my work. But they have no idea on the conscious level they are one of these who has volunteered to come and to use their energy to help raise the consciousness of the world. And I've been told it's working because now the positive is beginning to overshadow the negative. And we are moving into a new world, and it's beyond anything you could expect. But it's too late to turn back now. It's in the process, and it is happening.
And Those were the words of Dolores Cannon as she speaks of the two types of people on the planet and the fact that you can't convert anyone. People are who they are, and people are making decisions based on their understanding. You just have to seek out those of like mind who are conscious and aware. And those are the people that you will coalesce with. And our caller, Pianchi, asked about this curriculum and who's involved. This is not a race-based or American-based thought. This is the collective mind of those who understand finding each other and choosing to work together because they understand. They don't have to be told. They don't have to be convinced. They already know inside. Even if they're not consciously aware that they're one of these people, as she said, that we volunteered, we're finding each other. And we're creating. And we're developing. So that those who are meant to bring forth the new earth can be prepared in a way that is beneficial to them and to the world. So we thank you all for joining us.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.